and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of September 22nd. We have been gone for a very long time. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and now on the East Coast, Melissa Hansen.
Yes, I'm all over the place, but I missed you all so much.
It's been over a month, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been. We kind of took our summer break.
Yeah.
Working on other things, but we're back!
We're back!
Oh.
With lots more news.
Ooh.
What have you been up to entertainment-wise?
Lately, I've been doing some TV stuff, some catch-up stuff, and some new stuff.
Okay.
I have now watched all of the Criminal Minds. They're on Netflix now.
Okay.
Which is new. And I had watched a bunch of them, then I got out of them, and I wanted to catch up, but they weren't available, like, quote, free streaming anywhere.
Yeah, because CBS does not normally release their shows to streaming media.
Yeah, they are not. CBS is not nice with streaming stuff. Yeah. They're, you know, their shows aren't on Hulu and whatever.
Yeah.
They're stupid. but you had to pay, like, per episode.
Okay.
Kind of thing. So anyhow, they're on Netflix now, so you can catch up all the seasons, 9 seasons. So I caught up on all the episodes I had missed.
We have to put you into therapy now because of the darkness that has invaded your soul.
Yes, I was asked, like, are there really that many serial killers out there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what, 24 basically a year?
Wow.
According to Criminal Minds. But anyhow, no, it's a good show. I mean, yeah, it's weird and creepy and gross and icky.
Yeah.
but the cast is really great. So if you like kind of the whole police procedurals, it's FBI, but that kind of thing, and don't mind some, like, icky murder scenes.
Yeah.
It's a quality television program.
No, this is the one that Mandy Patinkin started.
Yeah, he started. He did, I think, 3 seasons?
Okay.
And then he left because he never sticks around with anything.
Yeah, that's true.
He just doesn't. I think he's a great actor, and he doesn't want to do the same thing for 10 years, you know?
Right.
He wants to move on to new challenges and new roles, so you can't fault him for that one. But yeah, he ended up leaving, which was fine. I mean, it's a big enough cast. It's Thomas Gibson and Matthew Gray Gubler and Paget Brewster and A.J. Cook. Kristen Vagnus.
Yes.
And then, yeah, Joe joined the cast later, and then Gene Triplehorn was on for a while. And anyhow, it's a great cast. It's a fun show. But like I said, it's icky. I mean, it's a very icky show. It's serial killers. They catch a serial killer basically every week.
Has the show maintained
its... Oh, Shamar Moore. I didn't say Shamar Moore. How can I connect? Oh, my. Okay. Yeah, it's maintained. I don't know how they come up with, like, fucked in the head characters every week.
Okay.
You know.
So you don't feel like they're reaching.
And they've made some missteps. They got rid of two of their actors partway through and realized that was an F up. And
okay.
I like how I said the F word earlier, but I chose not to say that. But then they realized the mistake and brought them back. And there's been some cast changes, but it doesn't affect it at all.
All right.
So anyhow, that's good. The other TV thing, new TV thing.
Yeah.
I went and watched a preview that's available on Hulu of Selfie, the new show, with Amelia Pond.
That's right. Karen Gillan.
She will always just be Amy Pond,
that's
you know?
True.
And then John Cho is in it. And they have, like, really neat chemistry, surprisingly,
huh.
I would think. But, she plays a completely self-involved young woman.
Okay.
Who it's Selfie, it's the whole, you know, taking pictures.
Yeah.
And that's her whole life is social media and whatever. And it is a takeoff on My Fair Lady, actually. It is this modern day spin on My Fair Lady.
Okay.
And so John Cho is one of her coworkers who ends up, he's going to revamp her image and basically make her nice.
All right.
kind of thing. It's not like, to the classy, it's just making her, like, nice and involved and, you know, caring about other people. My thing was that it's just she's so Amy, like, time for something else.
Huh.
And I'm just like, that's not Amelia Bond.
Yeah.
That was my problem. I kept, you know, flashing back.
All right.
To Doctor Who kind of stuff with her, but she's really good in it.
All right.
She kind of goes all out for it. It's a cute show. It's not, you know, mind-blowing television.
Yeah, and she has been doing other stuff. She had the horror film Oculus, which did fairly well at the box office. She was in Guardians of the Galaxy as a villain, which you would not compare
Can't
her
recognize
to.
Her, though. No. Yeah. No. Yeah, see, that worked, because it was like, it didn't even look like her.
Right.
So.
All right, and that's an ABC series, correct?
I don't know.
I believe it is.
Yes, yeah, so Hulu has a section on their front page. It's fall TV. Mm-hmm. And they have clips of new stuff, and then they have a few, like, preview pilots, and just kind of let you know what's coming back and when, and what's new and when.
All right. Well, that'll be interesting, because John Cho was on Sleepy Hollow last season, but he's not anymore, so now he's got plenty of time to do his
stuff. Well, we'll see if he's, going to be on it at all, or...
I think he was pretty much, his arc was pretty wrapped up.
Yeah, so, we'll see. And that's one of my concerns. People on new shows and what's going to happen to their old show.
Right.
Lawrence Fishburne is on Blackish.
Oh, the Anthony Anderson show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he is on Hannibal.
Oh.
So, and we don't know what happened to pretty much all the characters at the end of Hannibal last season. We don't know who's going to survive and not. And they're all like laying there dying, basically.
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, he could technically do both. Hannibal's going to be a mid-season, and I don't know, though.
Well, and according to Zachary Quinto, they're going to start filming the next Star Trek movie within 6 months, so John's going to be busy.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyways, I went and saw Maze Runner.
Okay. Which is the male version of, like, Hunger Games.
Yeah, it is. And it's all male, basically, except for Kaya What's-Her-Face from... Skins, the BBC series Skins.
Ah, okay.
Who has a very brief role in this. I'm hoping that her character gets more to do in the next film, which just was greenlit, by the way, this weekend by Fox when they saw the buzz and the numbers come in. So they're like, oh, you better hurry up and get your team together because your next movie is due September of next year.
All right.
Which I don't think is fair. I know Wes Ball is a young filmmaker. I'm sure he's very excited to adapt the second book, but to give a production team less than a year to produce a film is really rough in this business.
That is not much time.
I give them, I wish them luck, because it's not going to be easy. It was decent. I think the premise was great. I did not read the books. Some of the tension was great. Some of the logic, as you got towards the end of the film, started to bother me a bit. Patricia Clarkson plays an evil woman.
Nice.
Which is not always, I will see her in anything.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see her play a dark turn.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's great for kids. Some of it is a little dark. My nephew is in fourth grade.
Okay.
He's 9. Some of it was a little rough, but for the most part, it's safe material for the the early teen tween set.
The tweeny thing. Okay. Cool.
So look for next September, what is it called? The Scorch Trials.
Okay.
Be hitting a theater near you.
All right.
Box office this week, it was no surprise, it was at the top, but it's still kind of quiet.
Yeah, $32 million for The Maze Runner. Mm-hmm. And then we totally fall off. A Walk Among the Tombstones, which is Liam Neeson.
Is he making the same movie over and over again now? Just being a guy who's...
At least in the posters, it looks like it. Yeah. It's all literally gray. Like the movie. And yeah. So anyhow. I mean, he's found his niche, shall we say.
Well, I mean, at first I thought, all right, his wife died in a horribly tragic accident. And he's working through some stuff and doing some darker films. But that's all he's been doing lately.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah, we need another Love Actually. Okay. So $13 million for that, for number two. Yeah, so huge drop. And then This Is Where I Leave You, which is the Jason Bateman, Tina Fey family comedy, $12 million. No Good Deed, $10
million. Idris
Elba. Dolphin Tale 2, $9
million.
I watched the first one, and I bawled my frickin' eyes out. I was watching it with a couple kids, and I was drunk at margaritas at the time.
Mm-hmm.
With my friend Corey and her kids. So that may have something to do with all the tears.
Brother.
But it was sweet. I can't see this one. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Some of it just seems pandering. I'm just like,
yeah, but Harry Connick Jr. is in it.
I know. Well, that's, yeah, of Ooh. Course, that's why you're interested.
Yeah. Okay, that may have something to do with it.
Coming to the box office next week, Denzel Washington in a remake of the CBS 80s TV series, The Equalizer.
Hello.
I'm curious to see this because I auditioned for a small role opposite him in one scene and I didn't get it. But I'm curious to see who they cast and how it turns out. If they kept the scene in.
Exactly.
For the kids, we have Miles Teller and Annalee Tipton in the teen rom-com Two Night Stand. It's like an online romance thing, and they, on their first meeting, they get like trapped by a snowstorm or something.
Yeah, okay.
So they have to stay together. And then from the UK, we have, speaking of Love Actually, Bill Nighy, Imelda Staunton, and Dominic West in the gay comedy Pride.
Okay.
Which is set in the same time period as Billy Elliot, that year-long mine worker strike in the mid-80s.
Okay.
So it's these gay activists who help the mine workers through their difficult times.
Of course they do.
Yep. Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, we have horror and we have television. Halloween, The Complete Collection on Blu-ray from Anchor Bay. Saw, The Complete Collection on Blu-ray from Lionsgate. The Exorcist, The Complete Collection on Blu-ray from Warner Brothers. None of which the studios have sent us for review.
Yeah, because we've all seen all the movies.
I know, it's just, it bothers me.
All right, anyhow.
They want us to promote them, but they're not going to send it. Anyways. Seth Rogen and Zac Efron in Neighbors, which did very well.
It did well, and it got, like, decent reviews.
Yeah. Dave Franco is also in this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then for TV, we've got How I Met Your Mother Season 9 and the complete series.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that show is available on streaming. Oh, wait. Yes, it is, because I've got news coming up. Modern Family Season 5, Scandal Season 3.
Okay.
All on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Over at Redbox, we've got Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore in Blended. Guy Pearce and Robert Pattinson in Rover, The Rover. Mm-hmm. Susan Sarandon and Topher Grace, what a weird pairing, in The Calling, which is a horror movie.
Doing some wacky stuff.
The mighty have fallen. Larry Fishburne, speaking of which, in The Signal. And then for the kids, we've got the animated Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return, starring the voice of Leah Michele as Dorothy. Thank you. On Netflix this week, speaking of How I Met Your Mother, Season 9 and all previous seasons to that are available on Netflix. And this is weird because Netflix, as you get later into the month, it used to be the first of the month, they would just dump everything.
Right.
You can watch it. Now these are staggered. So throughout the week, you're going to see these pop up. J.J. Abrams' NBC series Revolution Season 2, which was the last season of that. Parks and Rec Season 6. Walking Dead Season 4. And then you've got Jesse Eisenberg in the thriller The Double and Johnny Knoxville in the comedy Bad Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Over at Hulu, Dennis Leary in The Ref, which was a decent little comedy.
Yeah, like Judy Davis and Kevin.
Oh,
that's mine.
No, he has the...
Spacey.
Yes.
Sorry. Wow, talk about Spacey. Yes. That's what I just was. All right.
Hilary Swank in the 1997 sorority thriller Dying to Belong.
Nice. Schwanker.
Speaking of sororities, the horror flick The House on Sorority Row... Lance Hendrickson in Wes Craven's Mind Ripper, and then the Piranha ripoff Sea Beast.
All right.
So we're getting into the Halloween season, and there's plenty of horror for you to choose from. All right, that's all I got.
Okay, well, quick, you know, get your pens and papers ready, because I ain't blasting through this.
Oh, it's television premiere.
It's premiere time, yep. Yeah. All right, so I'm just going to go through premieres on the main networks here. Monday night. The Voice and The Blacklist are back on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Forever on ABC. And Big Bang is back in the new kind of thrillery show Scorpion on CBS. And then Gotham paired with Sleepy Hollow on Fox.
I'm going to have to watch that.
Yeah. Tuesday night, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC. NCIS and the new spinoff NCIS New Orleans, and then Person of Interest are on CBS. Chicago Fire is back on NBC. Wednesday, Funny Night, The Middle, The Goldbergs, Modern Family, Blackish on ABC, and then also Nashville is back. Survivor, for its, like, what, 102nd season, I swear, on CBS. And then Mysteries of Laura, the new one.
It's supposed to be terrible.
It doesn't look very
good. It's Deborah Messing. It's
yeah, I like her,
awful.
But she plays like a cop with a messed up home life or something. I don't know. Anyhow.
I've never seen that before.
Okay, so that's on if you want to check it out. Followed by a new SVU and Chicago PD on NBC. Thursday night, Grey's Anatomy, followed by Scandal. If you remember, I got into that.
Really,
I'm excited. And then the new show, How to Get Away with Murder. On ABC.
That is supposed to be really good.
That looks...
It's Viola Davis.
Yeah, it's the whole, instead of doing Murder, She Wrote, they... she's like a professor, and oh, it looks really good. So I'm definitely checking that one out. And then Parenthood is back for final season on NBC. Also on Thursday night. And then Bones returns on Fox.
Still going.
Friday night, Shark Tank and 2020 back on ABC. Amazing Race, Hawaii 5-0, and Blue Bloods, CBS, Dateline on NBC. Saturday night, a bunch of the networks are rerunning their new pilots from the week. And then 48 Hours is back on CBS, too. Sunday, Once Upon a Time, Resurrection, Revenge on ABC. And then the new show, Madam Secretary, which is the Taya Leone.
Oh, yeah.
And they're pairing that with The Good Wife.
Oh.
And then followed by CSI on CBS.
All right. And Once Upon a Time, I saw the trailer. It's all frozen to start the season.
Yeah, they're totally going with that.
Yeah.
They are jumping on bang. Okay, also Sunday night, we got our comedy over at Fox. Simpsons, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and Family Guy. I'll premiere this week.
And I guess American Dad moved over to TNT, or TBS. That's where it is now.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's so they're sticking Brooklyn Nine-Nine in with the
animated
stuff. Yeah. So, which I really, really like that show, but we'll see how it does with that mix.
Hmm.
All right, music this week. Let me tell you what's coming out, and you tell me what I'm going to be doing all week and where I'm spending my money.
Oh boy!
Cheek to Cheek, Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga.
Ooh,
oh, doing classic stuff, and they sound amazing together. It seems weird, but they're brilliant together.
Okay.
Popular Problems, new one from Leonard Cohen.
Ooh.
Kenny Chesney.
Oh, boy.
A big revival. Plain Spoken by Mellencamp.
It is a big week for you.
Strut from Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, my God.
And The Violet Flame from Erasure.
Oh, my God.
Hello. It's like all my favorite people.
You know, I have to say, those guys are still fantastic. After all these years, we saw them in concert. Those guys are still fantastic.
Fabulous.
Hey, there's a hummingbird.
No, I mean in a good way. No, really good way. Okay.
All right.
So that is what, and again, that's like all of my favorites have new stuff this week.
Wow.
I don't know what to do with myself.
Ah.
Okay. Books this week. Speaking of Bones.
Yeah.
TV show's coming back, but there's also a new Temperance Brennan book, number 17, Bones Never Lie, Kathy Riche, that is out this week. And then there's two things, as a social worker, I'm like, you know, salivating over. There is a new edition of Bell Hooks' Feminism is for Everybody, Passionate Politics, which she is a phenomenal writer, and love her. And then Walter Mischel has a book called The Marshmallow Test, Mastering Self-Control.
Huh.
And he actually designed the marshmallow test, which is kind of a psychological experiment. You give a kid a marshmallow,
yeah,
and you say you can eat that one now, or you can wait and have two.
Huh.
So anyhow, that's where the name of the book comes from.
All right.
So that's out. And then, man, my friend Hannah, who's on WGN Radio in Chicago.
Yeah.
She's going to love this week, too. Cookbooks!
Oh.
The Chew, Festive and Delicious Recipes for Every Occasion, is out from the TV show The Chew. So it's a talk cooking show.
Okay.
And then Artie Party, An American Kitchen with an Indian Soul. She's one of the winners of, like, Food Network Star, and she has her own show. Yeah. And then Jamie Oliver's Comfort Food, The Ultimate Weekend Cookbook. So now he's been on a kick, healthy food, especially for kids and in schools and stuff.
Right.
But this is his, you know, massive grilled cheese sandwich cookbook.
Okay.
Comfort foods. So not quite as healthy, but we all, you know, food feeds the soul too.
Yeah.
You know, not just the body. So that's what this one's for.
All right.
Theater.
Yes.
Holy cannoli.
What?
Brooks Atkinson Theater in New York.
All right.
Is doing a run of Love Letters.
Yeah.
By A.O. Gurney.
Oh.
And as is typical with Love Letters, they're switching up the cast over time.
Yeah.
Now, Love Letters is two people literally sitting there reading love letters.
Yes. It used to be Stephanie Powers and Robert Wagner would tour across the
country. Yeah, they did it a lot. You're right.
Yep.
Okay. So right now, Brian Dennehy and Mia Farrow.
What a combination.
Hello. Mia's only there through October 10th. And then Carol Burnett takes her place.
Oh, my God.
Until November. And then November, it will be Alan Alda
and
Candice Bergen.
Oh, my God.
And then in December, Stacey Keach with Diana Rigg.
Oh, wow.
Holy cannoli. And then in January, Martin Sheen and Angelica Houston.
Holy shit, I would pay money to see that.
If I lived in New York, I would be going every month to see all of them. If you live in New York and you are not going every month, shame on you.
Mm.
So anyhow, yes, if you can make it out there to see, I mean, any of these
performances
will be phenomenal.
Well, and good for Candice Bergen.
Give you your money back if it's not.
Candice had a stroke not too long ago that she has recovered from. Yeah, and she kept her out of, it took her a while to recover.
So anyhow, but just any of those would be
phenomenal
to see.
Huh. Well, continuing on Broadway news, Disney's 17-year-old The Lion King. Can you believe 17? We saw this in London. And the first time I saw it was in London.
Yeah. I am not into the whole Disney show. I like Disney movies, but the whole Disney theater.
Yeah, the Beast kind of stuff.
Not my thing.
Yeah.
Like, go for it if it's yours. I think it's high quality. It's just not my thing. But The Lion King is nothing like the rest.
Well, Julie Taymor.
Phenomenal. It's one of the best things I've ever seen on stage. And I've seen a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. So, 17 years ago, this debuted. It just captured the title for the biggest grossing Broadway musical of all time, surpassing the $6 billion mark. Which was previously held by Andrew Lloyd Webber's 26-year-old Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, wow.
Both of which are still playing in New York.
Crazy.
Television news, superheroes. More DC Comics invading your television as CBS has given a commitment to Greg Berlanti's Supergirl. Following the adventures of Clark's newly arrived cousin Kara, she was on Smallville for the last couple seasons. Greg has worked magic with Arrow on the CW, and now he's going to be has another show to. And I threw this out on Facebook the other day that you know, while Marvel is kind of dominating the box office theaters with their characters, DC seems to be very content with pushing all of their stuff to television. And some people shot back at me and said that's not true, and I'm like, I'm just making an observation, you know, because obviously people love their Superman movies and their Batman movies, and I'm not a big Zack Snyder fan. Man of Steel was not a good experience for me. I just thought it was a waste of time. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But this keeps going. John Wesley Shipp and Amanda Pays will both have roles on the CW's new Flash series. Pays reprises her character from the original show in which John Wesley Shipp played Barry Allen, the Flash. So it'll be interesting to see them come back. And Grant Gustin, who was the bad kid on Glee, who attacked Kurt, he was like the evil warbler, is playing Barry Allen in this. So, and his partner in this is Jesse L. Martin. So that is reason enough to give the show a shot.
Yes.
Because Jesse doing anything is worth watching.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also on the superhero front, Warner Brothers is hot to get a Suicide Squad film into theaters after decent sales on their direct-to-DVD animated film Batman Assault on Arkham and Arkham Origins. These characters are all very hot right now, so they want to capitalize on it.
Yeah.
Toby Kebbell, who was phenomenal in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, alongside Andy Serkis. Again, you're not going to see Toby Kebbell because he was kind of the voice and the physical presence that was then animated over on top of. But he played the duplicitous Koba. He was the evil ape in this. And he gets to play evil once again. And Timur Bemakov's, I can never pronounce his last name. It's Bembetov's. He did Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Ah, I got it.
And stuff like this. But he's remaking Ben-Hur. So Toby's going to take on the role of Masala, which is kind of the bad guy opposite, you know, the hero who was originally played by Charlton Heston. Former SNL cast member Daryl Hammond, who pretty much dropped off the earth after he left that show, is returning to the series to succeed longtime announcer Don Pardo, who passed away this summer.
Oh, I like that.
That's, yeah.
He's got... I think he'll be good at it. He's got a good voice, and that'll be neat to have him back there. I like it. Good job.
Good job, Lorne Michaels. And then, despite California Governor Brown signing a massive new tax incentive program to keep all the film and television productions in the state, the studios are still hurting. Sony is expected to post a $2 billion loss for fiscal 2014. They've made really bad choices with their tentpole films. Disney's already gone through several rounds of layoff, and Warner Brothers has stated they will cut 1,000 employees in Los Angeles this fall.
Yikes.
And yet, these movies pull in huge amounts of money.
Like, how does this happen?
I think it's the same type of creative accounting that's going on with the government.
Like, how do you make hundreds of millions of dollars on a film worldwide and you lose money?
Because you have all these financiers, all these shareholders. They pay all of this money to the shareholders. So other people are getting rich off this stuff, but not necessarily the people who were involved in making it.
Got it. Yeah.
It's a dirty business that we've gotten ourselves into.
It's crazy. Sarah Benincasa, who I'm a huge fan of, comedian writer, she just posted like on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
She got like her first residual SAG.
Oh, yeah.
Check. Literally 1 cent.
See, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And this is beyond, I mean, when you look at the shows from the 70s, like Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island, those folks don't get residuals for those shows. Those play constantly around the world 24 hours a day. They get no money for that. So the industry has come leaps and bounds from that. But again, you're getting pennies on the dollar for the work that you've done that's still being enjoyed. I don't know. As an artist myself, it's very frustrating to say, hey, I can't afford my insurance this month, even though I worked all summer long and, you know, to sold out houses. So, yeah, it's frustrating. Anyways, that's all I've got this week for entertainment news.
Okay. Well, a couple weeks ago, it was a big news story. There were nude pictures hacked and released, posted. A whole bunch of female celebrities. Some big frickin' sicko assholes hacked into a whole bunch of like email accounts and text accounts and whatever.
Yeah.
So pictures women took and shared with who they chose to share them with, ended up out there for like the whole world to see. So it's happened again.
Of course it has.
And of course, Kim Kardashian is in the latest batch.
Well, but you know what? She needs to kind of get her marketing back up and running again. So I wouldn't be surprised if this was strategic.
Yeah. And that's, you know what? A woman wants to release whatever she wants to release.
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine. But when you take personal things for personal use, for personal audiences, that's no one's right.
This is the problem with the digital age. Everything is available out there. Everything's in cyberspace. For anybody to hack into. Home Depot just announced again that they got hacked, and all the credit cards, anybody who's used a credit card or a debit card at Home Depot had just had their information compromised. So anything you do to email, anything you do on social media, Don't do, what I'm saying is don't do anything that would compromise yourself. I don't care if you want to share these pictures with your friends or your loved ones. Don't do it because there's a possibility that they could be used against you at some point. So just think before you do
something. But also, the bigger problem here is we should have a right to do it.
Well,
just like a woman should have a right to get drunk and wear sexy clothes without getting raped.
Oh, and I'm not saying that.
Absolutely, and I'm not saying you are.
Yeah.
But and this is a point I think that needs to be made about this. And other people have made it first. This isn't my brilliant idea, but a point I want to make and others have made. This is not a computer crime. This is a sexual assault.
Well, it's a privacy issue.
Mm-hmm. But also, are they releasing men's pictures?
Well,
you know men take pictures.
Well, how many senators have gotten caught sharing?
But this is going after female celebrities. And I feel that this is a sexual assault. This isn't, you know, just a computer crime. And I think it should be treated as such. And I think we should all treat it as such. And I think it's easy to forget that these are human beings, you know, that this is a complete violation to them. And when we go and look at them, we're supporting this.
Yeah.
And I think we're being complicit, you know, in a sexual crime when we go and look at these pictures. And I think it's very easy to go, ooh, picture of Kim Kardashian naked. If she wants that out there, that's great. Go look at it. If someone else put it out without her permission, I think you are being an accessory to a crime when you go and look at them.
And I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
It's a world that we live in now that where the bad guys are very hard to track down.
And you need to protect yourself. But it's also like, it's not these women's faults.
Right.
They're doing something they should be able to do.
No, and I'm not placing blame. I'm just saying that you must be very conscious about what you're doing and what the ramifications could be.
Yeah, and that's something we need to, if it's out there, it's out there.
Yeah.
And you do lose control because there are horrible people like this that can hack into pretty much anything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, anyhow, next week I'm sure one of the Kardashians will do something ridiculously stupid, and I will share that more lighthearted news with you.
Okay. All right, and I just wanted to share feedback that we got from a reader here on DVD Verdict.
Uh-oh.
It's great. It was an old movie.
Get people in incoherent language yelling at us. Okay.
Yeah, it's a guy who lives in the rural part of California. He's a big movie lover, and his family, he grew up in the Warner Brothers family back in the 40s and 50s. But we had reviewed a film that he said, reading our review while watching this film just gave a whole new dimensional experience to him, and it brought back a whole flood of memories, and he's so pleased to have this resource for other films.
Wow.
So,
what did he say, what review?
It was Betty Hutton. I'm pulling it up now, but it feels good to me because we've been doing this now for 15 years.
Yeah, when you say we, you're talking about a heck of a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Not just you and me.
No, I'm talking more than 100 folks who have contributed their time, energy, and passion for film to Verdict. And we have more than 30,000 reviews.
Wow, we kind of rock.
So if there's anything out there that you want to see, that you want an opinion on or want to, you know, a second opinion after you watch it or share your thoughts, just take a look and see if we've got it, because odds are we may. This was a double feature, a Betty Hutton double feature called The Perils of Pauline and The Stork Club. It was
definitely
very nice.
He appreciates it.
Yep.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, let's do something nice for our readers, since one of them did.
Oh, yes. Do we have
nice
a contest this week?
We have a contest.
Nice.
It's from IndiePix Films, and it's actually an independent Indian film.
Oh.
It's called That Girl in Yellow Boots. It's set in Mumbai, and it's a woman's quest, so it looks quite excellent.
Hmm.
So that we are giving away on DVD this week.
Great. Fantastic. All right. As always, we appreciate you guys tuning in, for sticking with us in our prolonged vacation. Thank you for reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com. Thank you for listening to our podcasts at DVDverdictPresents.com. And until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
So take care, my love. Goodbye, my love. Goodbye.